the Life Escape Podcast. Expand your view.
Peace and blessings and greetings to everybody out there tuning in to this podcast, broadcast, transmission, and communication to the world. My name is Makua Ray. It's an honor to be here with you as one of the co-pilots of this journey together. And I want to immediately welcome my co-pilot, Ruben Yenas. Peace and blessings, Ruben. And how are you doing? Can you hear us all right?
Yes, I can hear you great. Can you hear me?
Crystal clear. Excellent.
Yeah, in Lakesh, brother. Thank you so much for opening again this space for the growth and the expansion of our perceptions and our consciousness, and in such an important day for humanity. So here we are. We have done this before. And every time that we come together to open these kind of spaces, we are blessed by the fact that there is a whole different reality happening in the world, and that's we are able to perceive it with a new filter.
Absolutely. What a time it is. And I'm excited to get into the conversation with you as we look at some of these factors, as we refer to them, the harmonic factors. I also want to send a special shout out to our production team in the wings with us, Alejandra and Ishelle. Our whole team is just a phenomena and a blessing. We'll get into some of the other beautiful synchronicities about that on a future episode. In fact, I think next week we'll have them in studio contributing and sharing their light and their insight. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. We're excited to present this platform. It's a new platform for us. As you mentioned, though, we've been here before. We've done some productions in the past. We've had some really amazing events, in fact, over the past couple of years. I remember the 12-12 light activation that we were able to hold space for, a good 10-day event happening in celebration of our brother Manifest Ra's birthday. And many people began to tune in from around the world for that particular light activation. And then that led up and culminated with you being in Palenque in Chiapas, Mexico, with a transmission right there from ground zero of the Galactic Maya time science, which, as you mentioned, there's a different lens when we talk about the Galactic Maya, or we talk about time science, or we talk about the Zolk'in or synchronometers or calendar change. What it really means is gifting yourself a lens through which to actually make sense of all that we are witnessing happening. Everything, when we just look at it on the third dimensional field, if you will, it can be overwhelming. It's riddled with all sorts of complexity. However, when you take on a galactic lens and you expand your view, things begin to make sense. They become more clear on the fact that we've all been here before together doing this thing in one way or another. And that we're also in some ways caught up in these repeating cycles. And part of the intention of this podcast and this offering is that we begin to have a conversation about becoming conscious of these blind spots, if you will, in our consciousness, such as the Gregorian calendar, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, blind spot in our consciousness. And so we want to endeavor to shine a light on that with this podcast and making a commitment to presenting this space, this forum, to you, the listeners, to the audience out there. And we look forward to engaging many of you as future guests and contributors in this space, because it's truly time to find the others. It's time to build community, and build community based on the principles that your heart really resonates with. And that's what this is about for us. This is really a labor of our love, and we've been committed to this for decades at this point. And we may not do it like everybody else does it, and that's okay. There's not one right way to do this. You have to follow your heart and follow your intuition. I know our intention is clear, that we are here to help serve the shift in consciousness that's underway. We're here to help steward and participate in that. So we welcome you, the listeners out there worldwide. With that said, I want to ask you, Ruben, provide a bit of context for us about the significance of this very window in which we find ourselves right now. There's obviously layers of meaning. We're talking about October 7th. And in the immediate, the past immediate year, there obviously is a depth of significance to October 7th. And yet I want you to also elucidate for us about the window between the 5th and the 14th of October that also contains Columbus Day, which we now are largely collectively beginning to observe, and rightfully so, as Indigenous Peoples Day. But I want to invite you to just provide some context for folks who may be hearing about this for the very first time. And also, maybe you can give a little insight into when we say galactic, because that word can be a little, you know, maybe triggering for some people or maybe confusing or something, even though naturally we do live in the Milky Way galaxy. So when we talk about galactic, let's not forget who we are and where we live, right? But I turn it over to you.
Absolutely. And thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today to our audience. And we have been part of this cultural revolution that started in 1987 after the Harmonic Convergence, that it marked the birth of what Jose Argüelles and his partner at the time, Lloyd Dean Burris, defined as galactic culture, you know? Because our consciousness has been trapped in a very small hologram, which is, the solar system, because we tend to keep it familiar. Our sense of perceptions have been kept within this context of the solar system, and we forgot that the solar system is part of a larger being called the galaxy, and that we are part of that consciousness too. So the term galactic refers to that broader aspect of consciousness, which is this galactic being that, as everything is the universe, in the universe is alive and is pulsing. And basically what took place on December 21st, 2012 and July 26, 2013, galactic synchronization, was that one of these pulsation beams just arrived to the shores of our solar system. And it has brought to the surface many aspects of our evolution at a very rapid pace. It's like a very fast process of transformation that we are undergoing, like a mutation. Not only our belief systems and our ways of doing things and perceiving things that are shifting, is our own DNA that has been receiving these new energies and allowing our body to undergo a transformation that we are not even aware of half of what is happening at a subtle level. So as we turn into a new species and into a new form of human, many speaks about that the 2012 marked the end of Homo sapiens sapiens and the start of a new species called the Homo nosphericus. Other people call it the Homo luminus or the Homo angelicus. There are many ways of describing a new type of species that is aware that we are part of an organism called the Earth, and that this organism is also connected to larger bodies of consciousness as the sun and the galaxy. This intelligence that governs and permeates everything in the cosmos is us. And we are galactic beings. And this term galactic culture defines that new wave of human beings that are aware that we are aware of this connection with the galaxy. There is a larger hologram playing out as we evolve, and that the process is bringing us to new levels of self-awareness, new levels of comprehension of our place at this time on Earth. And speaking about that, let's say go from the macrocosm to the microcosm, and from these milestones of evolution like 2012 to today, in which we are completing 1 year of the escalation of a conflict that has been running for hundreds or thousands of years. It's just that now, because of the exacerbation of technology, the immediateness of how the news arrived to our homes, we are participants of that cosmic drama that is evolving here on Earth in what is called Holy Land, the cradle of human civilization, apparently, according to historians. So this conflict is part of a narrative of confrontation that has permeated all history of civilization, and that it is now reaching a new peak, a new spike. And either we have the opportunity to transcend that spike or to fall prey of the narratives and the frequencies that we have been bombarded every day. So the reason why this space is called the galactic spin is because we are giving to that spin, that 180-degree spin, into perceiving it from a different angle, which is this galactic view that allows us to take enough distance not to fall into the drama and into the third-dimensional appearances, but to elevate our perspective. We call it the nospheric perspective. See this whole drama playing out on Earth as part of a larger tapestry and a bigger history that transcends political views and geopolitical agendas and all the other aspects of modern civilizations, like the confusion and the stress that modern life brings on a daily basis, because there is so much information coming in that is like you mentioned at the beginning, is hard for the brain and for our human bodies to process all that information. So we need to use filters, and the tools of the synchronic order and the law of time bring us those filters so that we can really extract from this drama that is playing out, this reality show that is taking place now on Earth, from a more detached perspective. And today actually is the start of a 13-day cycle that is the, let's say, there are 20 energies in one galactic spin. When the energies correspond to 20 archetypes or aspects of consciousness that describe our cosmology, goes from birth, that is represented by the dragon or the guardian of the memory, this archetype, and goes to the sun, which is the archetype of the enlightened one. And we are in that path of being born and becoming enlightened. In that cosmology, the 12th step on the ladder is the human. And we are today entering that cycle that is governed by that archetype of the human, that is the archetype of the wise one, the sage. And so it's an invitation to observe everything that is happening on Earth as sages, as bodhisattvas, and with enough neutrality and compassion in our hearts, connecting to our genuine human side that is aware that we are, like Carl Jung said, we are whole. That means that we are the full spectrum. We are the darkest of the dark and the lightest of the light. And within that, we keep moving, because it's like the image of the Hunapku playing in the background. It's a show of light and dark. And we are both, and perceiving reality from that, with that filter of unity, allows us to transcend the polarity and transcend the conflict and transcend the conflict that is happening also here in our brains, in our own minds.
Let's look at that a little bit, because you mentioned this 13-day cycle that we've now entered into, and the qualities of that being the sage and the archetypal quality. What does that sage have the opportunity to bring to the situation now? Because when we have an overlay, or we have a lens of the yellow human, for example, here's the wave spell for those who are able to see the visuals. In this case, you can see it begins this 13-day cycle with Kin 92, yellow magnetic human. That's today. Not only is that today, that yellow human also codes the first moon of the current year that we're in. We're in a 13 moon year, also referred to as a planetary service wave spell. when you refer to this 13-day cycle in particular, this is a unique window. As I mentioned before, we have in this window, it encompasses or it overlaps into that window of October 5th through 14th, which is the window in the year 1582 that Pope Gregory the 13th removed 10 complete days from what was then the Julian calendar before they began the Gregorian calendar on what then would have been October 15th. But those 10 days were completely removed or erased. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, somebody who was already alive at that point, who might have had a birthday the following year, if it happened to land on October 5 through 14, they didn't have a birthday that year. And I guess the justification for doing that was trying to recalibrate the timing of the Gregorian calendar and the various holidays around which it's anchored to get back in step with the actual astronomical reality of these moving, drifting planetary bodies and the cosmos. At the same time, we also understand that the Gregorian calendar itself is a largely arbitrary artifice. It's not based on any actual natural cycle or pattern. It's also riddled by the fact that you have all these uneven months. So it's practically impossible for us to utilize the Gregorian calendar to build a solid and trustworthy foundation. And I think we highlight that just for people to reflect in their own perception of, as you look out on the world and you consider it through a lens of this Gregorian calendar, it's so insidious, we never quite really think about the calendar, unless you do, like we happen to. But largely, people are completely unconscious to the impact of the calendar on their physiological health, on their well-being, on their time. And so this particular 13-day cycle is a special opportunity for us to counteract those detrimental effects if we make it conscious. And that fact is that when we become aware of something, a shift begins. It's just when it's operating without our awareness that we could be conditioned and programmed to do pretty much anything, including kill ourselves, which we see is riddling the planet right now, because we're taking our operating directions from an uneven, crooked measure of time that we don't seem to comprehend has such a detrimental effect. So this 13 days is critical, because as we navigate these 13 days, starting with today's energy that is coded by Kin 92, which amplifies the energy of free will and wisdom and humans' ability to have influence. We hear this terminology, influencers, in our current social culture, right? Everybody's an influencer. What are they influencing? And what are they influenced by? And how are we wielding the power of being influential? Is it to our detriment or to the mutual benefit? And I think we're coming to the point now where everything is on the table and things are pretty ridiculous, if we want to just call it for what it is. If somebody tells you who they are or how they are, believe them. Because everything is open right now. Reckless abandon might be an applicable term as it relates to kind of observing what's going on. But I just say that to say, here we are again. We've been here before. We're going through this repetitive cycle. We're now 442 years since the first day of the Gregorian calendar. And that literally shows up in this 13-day cycle. So as we cross this threshold of 441 plus 1 years since this program has dominated our largely planet-wide consciousness, including all of the United States history, including much of the rest of the developed world, there's an opportunity here. We need to ask ourselves, how important is it for us to actually make a shift? And what would making a shift look like? We wanted to title today's episode, Breaking Free from the Zero-Sum Game. And when we talk about the zero-sum game, that's a terminology that comes from game theory. And in this case, the zero-sum game represents this ideology of there has to be a loser for there to be a winner. And that's a very detrimental worldview to carry. And if we're being honest about it, that is the exact frequency and worldview baked into, even crystallized into, the Gregorian calendar. And this is why, after hundreds of years, centuries of this dysfunction, here we are practically stymied and stupefied as we see, you know, people talk about World War III may be coming. I mean, it really appears, by all indications, we're in it. We've been in it as far as that's concerned. Now, being conscious of that, are we just going to be disempowered as we approach this? And if we do look through a Gregorian calendar lens, it's very disempowering. It's extremely disempowering, because you can't ever really get your footing. As soon as you think something is solid, it shifts. It's like a castle made of sand, you know? That's the nature of the Gregorian calendar. Now, one thing we are introducing to people today, and we're really wrapping it in this idea that it is a gift from the higher worlds. Some refer to that as the Galactic Federation. Others refer to that as the Heavenly Host. If you have a spiritual cosmovision, then you're probably inclined to think that we're actually not alone in this experience called Earth, that we do have hidden helpers and we do have energies and forces that can and do, in fact, intervene on our behalf. Now, obviously, this thing called free will, that's a big emphasis of this 13 days. So one of the challenges is the higher worlds can only intervene to a certain degree. We have to actually adjust our perception and our behavior to raise the vibration of that behavior that it can meet a higher frequency. And in that way, we actually bridge the heaven and earth. Now, by all the conflict on the planetary field right now that we see and we observe, that we know today is a very heavy energy with all that's being commemorated and being ceremonialized, the depth of it, the agony of it, is debilitating. And to a degree, it keeps us trapped in a victimized space. So we're always on a defensive. We're never really fully comfortable or sure that we're safe in how we interact with strangers or even our own families. Everybody's on such edge right now. And, you know, stress is a killer. So if a bullet doesn't get you, then possibly stress might. And we want to begin to have this space for conversation on a consistent basis, to begin to invite friends of ours and friends that we will get to know that we haven't met yet, who have passions and who have expertise in areas and fields of interest that are coming together, I would like to think, in a concerted effort to contribute to this frequency shift that we so desperately need. And the reality is there's many people out there that know nothing about this calendar, yet they are contributing tremendously to the shift. And when we talk about noospheric, we're talking about the thinking layer of planet Earth. So this is accessible by any of Earth's children, and all of us are plugged in, whether we're conscious of it or not. We have the benefit of being plugged in. That's what has us here and sustains us on this planet, actually. So as we can pay homage and take a sacred approach to the precious moments that we have right now, I'm personally encouraged by what I feel and see is underway. When we look at these transformative cycles through a lens like this, with these 13 days in a row, or 13 months, as it were, or 13 years, these fractal layers of elegance and beauty begin to jump out at you and communicate in ways that before you may not have known, because you may not have had the language like this through which to interpret what's happening. But as we go on this journey, I want to encourage people to participate in the conversation. To all those listeners and those who've been following us on Harmonic Convergence 2020 to 2028 Facebook page, those who have tuned in with us from Galactic Synchronization Facebook page that was launched in 2011 and continues to be a presence on the internet, for those who have found our work through the harmonicfactor.com, we welcome you to this experience and this journey. I want to invite Ruben here to speak a little bit about at least the immediate goalpost of what is called the galactic intersection of timelines, and why we are actually committing to this next 52 weeks of holding this space, holding this podcast, holding this conversation with the human family, so we can actually take advantage of what is happening for us. Beyond the third dimensional stuff, like there's a lot of conflict and drama on the third dimensional plane. However, that's not the only plane of reality. We want to invite our human family to begin to vibrate higher together and have these conversations as though they are a matter of fact, because in fact they are. It's just a matter of whether or not you're going to open your perspective, expand your worldview, evolve your cosmovision to be able to hold the space for something powerful, transformative, healing even, completely reconciling, completely evolving, and all of the qualities that we want to imbue, that we want to experience. So thank you so much again to all those tuning in that have been following us on our platforms. This is a labor of love, and we've been here doing this now for a decade at least together. I know Ruben and I have been collaborating since 2016, 2015 even, with the blessing of Foundation for the Law of Time, and initially the role of the Banner of Peace Committee that I met Ruben doing that work, and that we were able to work with the antennas around the world in November of 2014 to put a big, big frequency out there for stabilization and for planetary healing. And that's exactly what we need right now. This zero-sum game mentality, though, is something that we have to become conscious of, because it's a trick. It was a lie. And it's only been to the advantage of certain people that that lie has been allowed to persist. But I would go on to say, I think we suffer from a significant Stockholm syndrome. We don't recognize the addiction and the obsession we have with those that have captured our attention. When I say we're perhaps a captive, it's because we are captivated by the fiction. We are captivated by this program, this desynchronous program that's also perpetuated through the world's religions, which is something we also have to unpack. We have to look at that with clarity. Faith and spirituality and having a good heart and a purpose and a dharma, that's a wonderful thing. That's a universal, soulful reality. The religions oftentimes become an unfortunate hindrance because they become riddled with corruption, as we see play out, as has happened for thousands of years. So we know the Gregorian calendar perpetuates that corruption. That's why we see it in this bipolarity of a political drama that's playing out in the United States currently. And it's not to say that people shouldn't vote or get involved in the civics of it all. Certainly you should. However, in doing that, it would benefit all of us to apply a different lens or cosmovision to the work, because otherwise we're just beating our heads against the wall and we get the same destabilizing results. And I'll just say this in closing. We want to make people conscious of the 28-year redundant frequency the Gregorian calendar follows. What does that mean? It basically means that if you take any date on the Gregorian calendar and you track it back 28 years, it's pretty phenomenal what you'll see in the pattern of what emerges. So, for example, one thing we're making conscious now for specific reasons is the frequency pattern of going from September 11th, 2001, known as 9/11, and 28 years back to 1973 from there, when you had the Chilean coup d'etat and other such political, geopolitical conflicts happening. That was also the year the World Trade Towers were built, by the way. So on a 28-year frequency, they follow that pattern. 28 years before then, 1945, you have the end of World War II. 28 years before then, 1917, the Russian Revolution. 28 years before then, 1889, the Paris Exposition and the Eiffel Tower. Interestingly, the world has just celebrated acknowledging the Olympics in Paris this past year. The beginning of the Civil War in the U.S. in 1868, 28 years before then. The abolition of slavery in the British Empire, 28 years before then. You can go on and on, back and back. And what's interesting is if you go all the way back to 1582, this 28-year pattern, a 29-year, depending upon where you're counting it from, emerges where it's just a crystallization of conflict. So with that in mind, again, I want to invite Ruben to now elaborate on this event, we'll call it a very significant event, referred to as the golden intersection of timelines.
First of all, I would like to comment on some of the very sensitive subject you touch on and remind people, especially those new to this information that maybe are just arriving to this consciousness of the new time, that precisely our consciousness is our interaction with two matrices, the matrix of space and the matrix of time. Space is the third dimensional, time is the fourth dimension. This is because space is experienced through the senses and time is experienced through the mind. So let's say that we have more or less a good grip on the third dimensional aspect. We can navigate the space matrix with familiarity. We know that we are a part, for instance, in this case, you are in the United States, I'm in Mexico. This is the part of the continent called America. This is part of a larger body called the Earth. The Earth is in the solar system. The solar system is in the Orion arm of the galaxy. The Orion arm is in the Milky Way galaxy. And if we go also in, we can use a GPS and find our way to the store, closest store next to us. So our position in space, our coordinates in space are very easy to determine. But our coordinates in time are completely out of order at the moment. We don't have a grip on what is happening on the Earth because since time is of the mind and the instrument that we have been using for the last 442 years to measure time is disharmonious, our mind has been deformed, our perceptions of time. And since this shift in timing frequencies took place at a time, at probably the most violent time in human history, which is the time of colonization and the expansion of the old world and the subjugation of the new world, what we have been experiencing is an exacerbation and acceleration of this disharmonious frequency. It's important also to remind people that the Gregorian calendar was actually used as a tool to collect taxes in the colonies. The Gregorian reform took place in 1582 after more or less 90 years from the arrival of Christopher Columbus. The word calendar that we used to, we think that we are, when we are saying calendar is an instrument to measure time, is really, we are saying is an instrument to collect taxes. This disharmonious frequency that has no logical basis, no scientific basis, no connection to the cycles of nature, when used over an extended period of time or several generations, we can say that the span of one generation is approximately 20 years. We have been using these calendars for over 22 generations. So there is a genetic damage in our biology derived from the use or the misperception of time, this application of this distorted filter to perceive time. So these two devices that are used to distort our position in time, our coordinates in time, is the Gregorian calendar and the mechanical clock that is the microprogram. So it puts us in an accelerated mode that we need to follow or keep pace with the machine. And we are not machines. We are biological entities. So what the calendar has propagated, the use of the Gregorian calendar, is the acceleration of entropy and disharmony. So the antidote to that is pacing ourselves to the rhythms of nature, which is 1320 and 1328 frequencies, the rhythms of the moon, the rhythms of the sun, and the rhythms of the galaxy. Those are the three bodies that we are measuring through the tools of the synchronic order. So since the Gregorian calendar creates disharmony and it puts us in an internal conflict, because every time that we are even saying the names of the month, like this month is October 7th, so it should be the 8th month, but it's really the 10th month, and September should be the 7th month, and it's really the 9th, and the next one will be November, and it's not the 9th, but the 11th. So that conflict permeates layers and layers and layers of consciousness, and we walk and live within this distortion without knowing that we are not seeing clearly. Jose Arguelles mentioned that we are like fishes swimming in dirty water without even knowing that it's dirty. We are so used to this dirty atmosphere of the mind that we think that's normal, but that's not really normal. It's really a function or a result of the implementation or the continued use of these devices to measure time that do not correspond with the reality in the cosmos. I remember the first time that I got in touch with this information was a lecture of Jose Arguelles in Cancun at the Prophets Conference. And it was a Sunday, and he made a point saying that it was not Sunday for the dolphins, it was not Sunday for the birds, it was not Sunday in the moon, it was not Sunday in Jupiter. It was only Sunday here in our minds. And that really hit a nerve inside my brain, because I never thought about it. Why we keep this agreement blindly without questioning them. And the fact that this date that today is everywhere in the media is within that window that the original trauma was perpetrated, which the trauma is really, we are going to mess up with your mind and take 10 days off the month of October without any logical reasons to do it at the middle of the week at the beginning of a month and not at the end or the start of a year is part of that intentional process of confusing people. So we have then two important aspects, confusion and conflict. When we are confused, we tend to be in internal conflict and we extrapolate that conflict to our brothers and sisters. So we can see here in the graphic, the quantum jump between Thursday, October the 4th, the last day of the Julian calendar, to Friday, October the 15th. So every time that we have events like what happened last year on October 7th, within this window, it's just part of the same program, because the calendar is a program. And it has a script, like you mentioned, this 28-year script that repeats itself like a virus. It's a memory virus, it's a mental virus that we are not even aware that we are carrying. And the purpose of this podcast is just to really use the filter of the synchronic order as an antidote to that distortion and that conflict and that confusion. Because when we use our four-dimensional glasses and perceive all these events through those glasses, that filter, everything makes way more sense than if we don't have it. So we tend to be more confused if we don't have the filter. It's just like going to a movie in 3D, not having the right glasses. So the movie is going to look very blurry and it's going to give us a headache. We are not going to enjoy the movie or the story. In the same way, when we are hearing in our personal 360-degree movies, personal movies, if we don't have the right filters, we are losing our consciousness in ways that we are not even aware, which is we are so immersed in the artificial bubble that we don't know that what we are seeing is an illusion. So the remedy to include and transcend these traps, because at the end of the day, what the synchronic order and the law of time offer is tools to transmute with harmony everything that is disharmonious. And when we can grieve on all the trauma and become even more victims of, oh, this is so unfair, it never ended really, we are still trapped in this matrix. Or we can look for the harmony within what is happening in the background, so we know that no matter how much noise is out there, there is a larger story happening, and there is a way more elegant and beautiful symphony playing out in the background. So this leads us to the golden intersection of timelines, which we are going to cover in detail in the next episode. But let's say for the moment only that, first of all, it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. It will not happen never, ever again. It is connected to the mathematics of the golden ratio that said it means that exactly in 1 year, when we complete 443 years of the Gregorian calendar, the amount of days compressed into that cycle of 443 years is the golden number. It's exactly 161,803 days, which is the golden number, the first six digits of the golden number. The golden number, for those who are not aware of what it is basically a mathematical constant that governs the growth of everything in nature, and that is based on the progression of a mathematical scale called the Fibonacci scale or the Fibonacci sequence, in which each of the numbers on that sequence divided by the number that precedes it is the golden number, or reaches an approximate to the golden number. So the fact that we are approaching every day, we are one day closer to that magic number that is governing everything in nature, the growth of sunflowers, the pine cones, the hair in the crown of our heads, the ears, the shapes of the hurricane, of storm, the galaxy. It's that same mathematical ratio that is now playing in the background of everything that is happening. And that date, when we complete that fractal of 161,803 days, which equals 443 years. Not only that is happening, but also we are reaching a major point after crossing December 21st, 2012, which is the arrival to 13 tunes or cycles of 360 days, according to the ancient Maya vigesimal long count, one tune being 360 days. So the Maya use the 360 as a measure of a circle to measure the cycles of time. And they will measure that period of 360 days by 18 cycles of 20 days each. 18 times 20 is 360. And then they will have five holidays or special days called the Wayep to complete the cycle. Those were days used for fasting, purification, and preparation for the next solar year. So on October 15, we are going to arrive to that long count marker 13.0.13.0.0. The frequency of the number 13, which is part of that sequence of the Fibonacci progression, is going to be pulsing back there in the background, either we are conscious of it or not, but all the monuments and all the stones that were carved in the temples as guidelines or reference points for us to know our place in the future now are there as silent witnesses of this. And they carry a frequency. And those people who carved those stones, they knew what they were doing. Their perceptions of time were very well developed through the lens of mathematics that are way more advanced than the ones that we use today, which is the vigesimal mathematics, base 20. We use base 10. And that day is going to be the day 8 Ahau. On October 14, we close the 443 years. And October 15, we start year 444. Will be the first day of the 444th year of the Gregorian calendar. And that day, those 2 days in the ancient Maya long count would be 4 Ahau and 5 Imish, corresponding to the sun and the dragon, the alpha and the omega, the beginning and the end. That date was the same marker as December 21st, 2012. That means that this is according to all these converging timelines that are meeting at this vortex of time, that is October 14, 15, 2025, are all converging at a golden ratio fractals. That means that we are moving into harmony, not disharmony. Even though everything outside looks chaotic at the moment, we keep focus and the reason to embark into this adventure of doing this podcast is to make conscious this date from here and for the next 52 weeks to that point. Because as I mentioned at the beginning, it's not going to happen again. The Gregorian calendar is only going to be 443 years once. And once we cross that threshold of the golden proportion, there is still the bullseye is that day, but we are entering into resonance with that date every day. And after we pass that point, we are still going to be in that resonance. So that gives us like a whole different lens to perceive what is going on, because now we know that, okay, we have been misled through a wrong tool to measure time to perceive that this is the only reality while there is a way better story happening in the background. This is the most important date after December 21st, 2012. Mm. This is what the numbers say. It's not just me. And actually, the way this was revealed was another synchronicity that was October 15, 2018, 7 years from that date. I noticed that the Gregorian calendar was going for another anniversary and that the number was getting close to the golden number. So when I simply type add from October 15, 1582, the golden number in days, and what a surprise that we got exactly October 15, 2025. I did the math several times to make sure that that was real, what was going on. So since then, I knew that the more we approach this date, the more emphasis we will have to place on the date, especially because everything looks happening right now very fast. Like I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, every time that we meet for a broadcast, it's a whole different world. And now it's happening faster with the advent of the of AI. It's like we are experiencing quantum leaps almost on a daily basis. So part of that process of bringing ourselves back to harmony is focus our attention not in, on the acceleration, but on the harmonious qualities of that acceleration. We are really moving, like when we approach a vortex, the closer we get to the vortex, the more rapid the spin of the torque. So of course, entering this last leg of 365 days is the last acceleration into something that it's unknown, but that the numbers don't lie, and it's something unique and special. And whoever consciously or unconsciously placed that date of October 15 as the beginning of the Gregorian calendar, knowing or not knowing that this was going to happen in the future, knew about this or was connected consciously or unconsciously to this pattern of harmony that is permeating everything. Everything in nature is governed by these mathematical ratios, and we are it. Our own DNA, the spirals in within the DNA are following that same pattern of the golden proportion. The more we put our awareness on that harmony, the more evolution goes into that same direction without a feeling of disorientation or fear or hesitation, confusion. All those things are transmuted by placing our consciousness in harmony instead of disharmony. So I think that that is a brief outlook of where we're going, what is happening, and the responsibility that we all have as this 13-day cycle of the human is emphasizing, and in being wise in where we put our attention, our intentions, and which choices we are making on a daily basis. Are we choosing to focus on what is not working, or are we choosing to focus on what is really working? And these codes are probably the most powerful tools to focus our attention on in harmony and in the beauty that is present in everything, even in the in devices as the Gregorian calendar, who are abominations of miscreations of human consciousness.
Well said. You definitely summed that up, and I'm very excited that we can explore this together as this 52 weeks advances. And as we apply this fourth dimensional lens, I am certain that others will begin to perceive the positive shifts, even though, as you said, there's a lot of contrast on the third dimensional plane. There is some harmonious working in the background, and it's ongoing. And so it's a blessing to be here on the planet at this time and to be aware of some of these other depths or dimensions happening. I want to take a moment, a break real quick, and come right back. And I want to again thank everybody for tuning in today. Join us over the next 52 weeks as we will be navigating this together, and excited to welcome others and other voices into the mix just to share their discoveries and their contributions of this collective frequency shift that we are all undergoing, this metamorphosis of sorts that we're experiencing. Thank you again for tuning into the Galactic Spin Podcast. Tune in. The Galactic Spin Podcast, and expand your view.